Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Table Talk. I'm here with my daughter, Madison.
Hi.
And we're going to get right to it. We're going to share with you how the Holy Spirit has revealed truth to us from God's Word and how we are seeking to apply it. And we just invite each of you to take an opportunity to dig into God's Word on your own and just pursue a deeper relationship with Him. And always begin by opening with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to me before you even begin to read His Word. Because it is nothing that we can do or propel on our own without the Holy Spirit's guidance. So we just want to give Him all glory and honor and praise just as we begin this discussion. Yeah. And today I'm actually going to go first. I'm going to start us in Matthew chapter 26, verse 6 through 13, and it's where Jesus is anointed at Bethany. And it just starts with, "Now when Jesus was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, a woman came up to him with an alabaster flask of very expensive ointment, and she poured it on his head as he reclined at table. And when the disciples saw it, they were indignant, saying, 'Why this waste? For this could have been sold for a large sum and given to the poor.' But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, 'Why do you trouble the woman? For she has done a beautiful thing to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me. In pouring this ointment on my body, she has done it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, wherever this gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her.'" And when I read the word, I seek to find a relevant question that I can ask myself, almost in a conviction of me, to just be like, check it, Paulette. And the question I wrote to the margin by this passage is, what am I offering my Lord?
That's good.
What am I offering my Lord? And the whole idea about the ointment, the pouring of the ointment upon the head of Christ, was a token of the highest respect. And it was like the most expensive thing this woman owned. And she was willing to pour it all out on him. And then in reading my Matthew Henry commentary, I chose from the passage where he speaks about it. I wrote this: "Where there is true love in the heart toward Jesus, nothing will be thought too good to bestow upon him." So I was thinking about just myself in this world, because this was written for a then and a them. It was totally foreshadowing what's later to come in this same chapter and next. Mm-hmm. But what I was thinking for myself, well, then how is it applicable if we're seeking to apply? How is this applicable to me? And what I thought of is how hard Satan tries to trap us into worldly treasures that we keep for ourselves. First thing that came to my mind is time. Time is a treasure. Mm-hmm. And do we fit God's word and prayer and time with Him in study in at the end, so we're giving Him the leftover time? Or are we craving to find, "I'm giving you my first, I'm giving you my best, I'm giving you my most expense, I'm going to get up early, I'm going to set my alarm clock early, or you know what, I am dead dog tired, but I'm not going to bed until I've had my time with you." Mm-hmm. So I think, are we tithing our time? If it's so worthwhile to us, time is worth everything. Are we giving him the expensive time? And that's just one little area I thought of. And then in thinking about the oil, I also went to Exodus, because in the one-year plan that Maddie and I are reading, it's something in the Old Testament, something in the New Testament, Psalm and a proverb. So I went to Exodus, and it's talking about in chapter 30, verse 22, about the anointing oil and incense and the altar of incense. The Lord says to Moses in verse 23 from chapter 30, take the finest spices of liquid. And then he goes on to give all the details, of course, the sweet smelling cinnamon, half as much, and the aromatic cane, and just keep reading. And then in 25, and you shall make of these a sacred anointing oil, blended as by the perfumer. It shall be a holy anointing oil. And so he's saying, like, he wants the best. Mm-hmm. He wants our best. He wants our best work. He wants our best prayers. He wants our best study. He wants our best effort. He wants our authenticity. He wants our humility. He doesn't want us like scrolling our Bible app while the TV's going. That's not our best. Mm-hmm. He doesn't want us like listening while driving if we are really thinking about our day. Like, it's not like, I don't think the Bible reading should be in the background. Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of like, then Jesus went with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, but in my mind I'm thinking, okay, I've got a meeting at 9, and then I'm going to try to, around 10:30, get into my schedule. And it's like the Bible being audio read is just kind of like background noise. Mm-hmm. He wants our best. So I was just really reaffirmed that as he has asked in the Old Testament for the best of anointing oil, and then as representative of this woman at Bethany anointing him with her finest, I've just been sitting in, what am I giving you, Lord? And convict me of where I'm not giving you what I can, and illuminate through your Holy Spirit to me, enlighten me of how I can give you more, how I can pour out my life, my thoughts, my words, my deeds more for you. But
that's good. And a question that popped out when you were saying all that is, in each season, we need to be thinking, what is our best? Mm. What are we giving him?
That's good.
But your best and my best are always going to look different.
Absolutely.
And when I first became a Christian, my best was completely different than now.
Yes.
And so it's not like, okay, I'm a Christian, okay, I'm doing something, and I'm done.
Yeah.
We need to constantly be evaluating ourselves and giving God our best. And finances might change, time might change, work might change, you know, lots of things change.
Yes.
Your best, and God knows your heart and your everything, is going to be different throughout that. And so I think that's so important to stay humble and know that my best is going, he's going to ask more and more and more as you get closer and closer to him.
Mm. And if you're not in his word, how's he going to speak to you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Maddie, would you like to share where you've been lately?
Yeah. And mine kind of piggybacks off that in a different way, but now that you've kind of explained, I'm like, yeah, that it works. So lately I've been kind of in the Psalms and the Proverbs, and things have been really sticking out. There's a lot of good one-liners, and you know, the verses that you would post on your bathroom mirror or your fridge or send to a friend. There's so many of those in Psalms and Proverbs, but sometimes I feel, because there's so much, that you read through them, it's hard to really like sit in them unless you're like studying them or something. But there were some verses that jumped out to me this week, and they kind of connected. And then when I was reading in the New Testament, it made me think of them kind of deeply. So in Psalms 29, David is talking about like the heavenly beings. And in verse 3, it says, "The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty." So it's just kind of talking about the voice of the Lord, the God, and powers and majesty. And then when I was reading another day in Proverbs 8:22, we know Proverbs is all about wisdom and kind of what to do and what not to do. And it talks about in verse 22, it says, "The Lord possessed me," being wisdom, "at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago, I was set up," being wisdom, "at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there was no depths, I was brought forth. When there was no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped." So when I think back, because we have read through Genesis, the creation story, and you think about like the Spirit hovering over the waters, that's what it just brought that illustration into my mind when I read Psalms 29 about the voice is over the waters. You know, the Spirit is hovering over the waters. And then when I went to Proverbs and was reading, that same illustration popped up in my head, that wisdom is at the beginning of this work. That, you know, we know that we have a triune God. And so when God spoke, the Spirit was there, Jesus was there. And so I felt like Psalms and Proverbs was just reminding me of that truth, that before creation, the Spirit was there, Jesus was there, that wisdom and that truth was there, that power already, that majesty was there. And then creation started, and then he brought us into the mix. And then, you know, we've read so many good, awesome stories and miracles, and so many bad, sinful things that have happened already, just being Genesis and Exodus, and then starting with the life of Jesus. But it was just a reminder that, like, he is there. And then looking into Proverbs a little bit more in this idea of wisdom, wisdom is not just like, hey, you know a lot of things, here's what you should do. It's really this, what I've been listening to some videos about the Bible Project, this interwoven, like, real thing that God made the universe with. Like, Pastor Seth talked about it on Sunday, this idea of like there's physical laws to like gravity. Gravity is always going to be gravity. The moon's always going to be spinning around the earth. You know, that's part of wisdom, that creation is set up in this way that it knows the truth and it's going to do what it's told for the best of God's purposes. There's the spiritual wisdom as well. And this idea of if you hold on to these truths, if you know them and know them in a way that you like hold them in your heart and your soul and you have them in your mind enough that you're going to now act in a righteous way and follow God, then you are wise. It's not just a, I know what I know. I'm old, so I've had all this experience. It's, I have done what I know to be true. So he kind of personified that wisdom and allowed us to understand it by, of course, he's God and he's the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is Jesus. But then when he created the world, and then Jesus now walked, we see his life in perfection, he's playing and personifying this wise truth of, I have this truth, doesn't matter how old you are, and now I can act in it. And so it reminded me of that. I just love that illustration that came to my mind of wisdom being there with the Spirit and Jesus with creation. And then it brought forth the same illustration, which it seems kind of odd, but when we were reading in Matthew, right after the story that you're talking about in chapter 26, but go down in verse 40 and 41, this is really painful. Jesus knows what's going to happen, and he's in the garden and he's praying, and he asks the disciples to come with him to pray and to be there with him. And it says in 40, and he came to the disciples and found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, so could you not watch with me 1 hour? And then 41, it says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And when I read that on a totally different day, it brought forth the same illustration to my mind of this wisdom that has intertwined and been woven into all of our bodies, as well as, you know, creation. And this idea of, we know what we should do and we might want to do those things, but our flesh is weak and we constantly have to make the right choice. To really be wise, I would say the disciples did not make a wise choice that night. They were willing, they wanted to be there, they wanted to be with Jesus, but really they didn't know how important this moment was. And Jesus did. And so he made a wise choice and was praying because he knew what was going to happen. That this is interpretation from Maddie, so could be totally false, but I feel like in our day-to-day life, when we forget how important minute details are, they can easily slip by. Like you were saying, if a day is just a day and work seems so much more important, it is easy for me to wake up and immediately think about my schedule for work. But when a day is not a day, but when a day is an opportunity to hear from God, to listen to God, to be wise and fulfill his purposes in our life, to interact with creation that he's made in a glorifying and honoring way, to potentially share the gospel with someone, to just be closer to Jesus, when that is the goal, it is 1,000 times easier to forget about work and think about God. So, man, I mean, I mess up all the time, and it is hard for me some days to make it to the end of the day because I do study at night, and I have made that my schedule, but sometimes I get to the end of the day and I'm like, I'm tired, and I have to remind myself, this is the most important thing, the most important thing, and if I let it slip, and if I don't pray before I read, and if I just start, I'm going to have to check it off. I have, in this 2 months that we've been doing this, I have had to stop myself. Oh my goodness. I am so sorry, Lord. Let me back up. I came to you and I was not in the posture. And I was checking off a box. And I was tired and working in my sinful way. I am sorry. Let me try again. Heavenly Father, allow your Holy Spirit to reveal your truths to me. Let me rest in you right now and put you first. No matter what time you are, your best needs to be whatever time you've chosen, whatever opportunity you have. And you might have to stop yourself and backtrack and fill the time in a different way. And I've had to do that. And it's a daily reminder, maybe a minute-to-minute reminder, that this world's passing away. They didn't realize that. The disciples did not realize what was going on in front of their face. They couldn't comprehend it. And though we know the story of Jesus, and we know like victory is won, still in our human nature, we look at the walls right in front of our faces and we can't see eternity. It is hard to comprehend and understand. But I feel to really fulfill the wisdom that Proverbs is talking about, we have to put that into perspective. We have to really humble ourselves and say, my job is not the most important thing. You are. My family is not the most important thing. You are. My time, my finances, cleaning up the house, doing the laundry, it can wait. It will pass away. And it's hard. But when we think about what's most important and that one day we're kind of come face to face with Jesus, and I sure hope my face is glowing like Moses's, that you're proud. I want to make him proud, and not in like a selfish way, like I want to be better than anybody else, but I want him to be proud of me because I have lived my best. I've given him my best oil that I could. So anyway, how I'm trying to apply is kind of what I have already mentioned. I want to make the wise choice when it's hard. So that means I have to practice daily putting him first. And that means reading, praying, but also just humbling and putting myself in perspective that I am not the most important thing. Circumstances do not define my relationship with God. And just like Jesus spoke to them, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's me. I am willing. My flesh is weak, and I really have to train hard, train my body to have good habits and my mind to have really good habits so that my flesh gets stronger. Prayer is really what I feel like I've been convicted, just praying real prayers to God, not the prayers you know you should pray, but really honest prayers of like, God, you are not first right now, but I want you to be. Or God, I didn't give my best yesterday, but you've got my best right now. And humbling, you can ask very honestly, like, make my desire of my work less. Give me more desire of you. There are examples in the, I think it's Philippians 2:13, if I'm saying that right. It's like, give me more desire of you and less of the world. I think it's so important, but it went kind of hand in hand with yours of giving your best and just humbling yourself where you are.
And I went back and was looking at what I had wrote in the margins of the Proverbs you were referring to. And yes, when you talked about the Lord was there at the beginning, and when he established the heavens, I was there. That's what I wrote down. I wrote Christ engaged in creation and then later saved it. He was a part of it before Satan even tempted Eve in the garden. He played a role in his presence being there. And then, yes, you know, and all about the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus that came after what Maddie referred to about the disciples with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, of course, epic fail on their part, which should make us feel okay when we epic fail. Yeah. That he still forgives us. And all of the mockery and the mocking about, you know, if you say you're the Lord, you know, get yourself down. And all of that in chapter 27, when they stripped him and struck him and spit on him. And they were basically saying, you know, if you are who you say you are, then he should be able to save you and you don't have to die. And I wrote down that Christ allowed himself to be sacrificed. Because if there was no cross, there would be no Christ, and then there would be no crown of glory. So he sat there and took it for us. Mm-hmm. He had the power. He had the power to get off that cross. He chose not to use it. He chose to bear all of our sin and look meek and look fragile and look powerless and just take it. And so in that regards, I'm like, why in the world do we think we are so much better than technically him? That's really what it is. It's I apparently think I'm better than Jesus when I want to offer up a complaint to God about suffering in any circumstances, any type of suffering. Apparently, I think I'm something to say like, God, take this from me. When Jesus cried, why have you forsaken me? You know, if it's possible, you take this cup from me. And he knew the answer. He knew, no, I'm going to die for them. And then we can't fit him into our schedule. I mean, I guess that's just what's hit me really heavy as I'm reading through Exodus, details to build a tabernacle, to meet with me to the nth degree because the Holy Spirit hasn't been granted. Then jump into Matthew where Jesus is allowing himself to freely deliver us from sins. Terrible things are being happened, you know, are taking place to him, but he freely gives it up to deliver us. And then we're like, I don't have time for you today. Not today. Let's see, when will it fit into my schedule this week? Oh, church. Yeah, Sunday, church, Sunday. I'll come into this man-made, nothing on my part temple and sit and listen, and then I've got a life to live. I've got a week to work. And oh, by the way, I'm sick. Could you heal me from that? And oh, by the way, this is a situation with a relationship. Could you make that right? And oh, I could use a raise. And seriously, do we ever really stop and evaluate the magnitude of all this? And then I've been in Isaiah reading about Isaiah's vision of the Lord in chapter 6, where above him were the seraphim, and they each had the six wings, which is also in Revelations 4:8, and they're covering their faces. These are bright, bright, bright angels. In fact, seraphim means burning ones. They are so bright. They used their wings and their feet to cover their faces in the presence of God. Because even as bright as they were, he is that much more illuminatedly bright. So in the glory of the Lord, they covered themselves and said one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of your glory." And we're considering him in what priority? And yeah, we're going to wait till we get up there and go, "Oh, wait a minute. Wait. Let me explain." And that's why it hit me with Matthew when it says in there, not only did she give her best, and not only did others doubt, like, why in the world is she doing that? But he goes on to say that basically any time it is spoken of about him being prepared to die, what she has done will always be told in memory of her putting everything of utmost first for him. So then I got the question of, oh, what am I going to be remembered for? What am I going to be remembered for? My profession? My house? My car? I drive a Fiat. My pets? My friendships? Or will my memory in any way reflect, I sought and pursued a righteous life, and I didn't keep it to myself. I invited others in on the journey. Bingo, period. So, yeah, I had to stop and do some deep reflection. Maddie's vulnerably said she stopped and done reflecting. And that's what it means to saturate yourself in the scriptures. It's read it with the intent to be moved. Oh, and that made me think of something else. In Exodus, with all these details about the temple, you know, and everything, the tabernacle, because you guys do realize they were building something worth meeting with him in. And Jesus died on the cross, like we just mentioned. The Holy Spirit was given to us. We can meet with him any minute of the day, anywhere, as a believer.
Yeah,
we don't have to go build anything. And I know we've talked about that before on a podcast. But, I mean, we almost take it for granted.
Oh, completely.
So, anyway, so I was studying about why things meant what they meant. And we kind of talked about that. But I got to Exodus 38, and starting with verse 9 through 20, and he's talking about the curtains, all of these linens that were finely hung. And when I was reading all about that, and I mean, all the details about that, one of the things in commentaries it says is the flowing of the linens of the curtaining of the court is prophetically showing that there should be a flow. It's not hardened. That curtains are able to be movable and changeable. So it's like, think of us as the church. We the people make up the church, not the brick and mortar. God does not want us fixed. Just like Madison so eloquently said, when you first asked Jesus into your heart, and wherever you are now, and wherever you'll be in 10, 20 years, if you look the same, shame on you. So basically, this was already prophetically showing that God wants his church movable, changeable, flowable, breathing it, doing it.
Yeah,
that's not really cool. Fixated on, I know that. I've read Exodus. I've read Proverbs. Read it again. Yeah. Read it with a new intent to be moved by it. Search it and say, change me, Lord. Use Exodus to change me. Use Proverbs to change me. We don't care what you're reading. Use Isaiah. Use Philippians. Use Colossians. We don't care what you're reading. Anything and everything in the living, breathing Word of God can change you if you look to be changed by it.
That's right.
Which is our only goal, and we're inviting you in. Read the Word of God. You pick when, you pick where, you pick how that looks for you. Seek a truth. The whole 66 books of the Bible are truth. And seek to apply it. Ask for it to change you. That's the only way we're going to look less like ourselves and more like him. And if you can be in the room on Wednesday, February 19th, we're going to offer you another little tool or a resource that's going to help guide us from sitting and marinating in our own feelings and emotions. And give it its credence, give it its due, honor where you are, be authentic and vulnerable and real, but also keep in mind that it's more important that we study God's character and God's attributes than it is to sit and sulk in our emotions. We've got to say, this is where I am, despair. And this is where he's offering to take us. He is faithful. He is true. He is good. He is holy. So we're so excited about being able to offer this tool for me first. Anything I make, it's first and foremost for me. And then I showed it to Maddie. And then we're going to unveil it to anyone able to be in the room on Wednesday. And if you're not able to be in the room with us, shout out to either Maddie or I or who you know that can get to us, and we'll see if we can send you a digital copy if we can't give you a paper copy. Anything else, Madison, that you are just sitting here in, or something you want to offer them as encouragement?
I don't think so. I think just those questions that you offered are some good ones. Right now, what is your best?
Yeah.
What are you giving him? And
I like that you said our best changes, because it's true. When I first was offered this opportunity to, I would say, like, read and study God's word from Mama Dot, a mentor of mine when I was 13, my best was literally reading the Bible, just reading it. I was in no place where I am now as far as how it awakens me, convicts me, affirms me, ignites me, motivates me, moves me. I wasn't related to it like that because I didn't have the friendship with the Holy Spirit I have now. But I was doing it out of a habit, and I was cultivating a holy habit because she was telling us, I promise you, this is the most delightful thing you will ever learn to do. And so at the beginning, I was in the practice stage, just like if I had just gone out for basketball in the second grade and I was learning how to dribble. It was literally just the motion and the momentum of getting into the Word of God. But at my age now, if all I did was read it to read it, what a waste of years I would have put in. But some of you listening to us today, maybe in the beginning practice stages of developing a holy habit, and that's okay.
Yeah, I think it's...
that's okay. Just read
it. I think, obviously, there's a purpose and a plan for him to have given us this relationship and the opportunity to share the gospel through us.
Yes.
Part of the reason, I think, is because we're all at totally different seasons and stages, and where I am is different, and I will connect to different people than where you are, than where someone else is. And sometimes I think to myself, man, if I just knew then what I knew now. Like, I remember even like 2-3 years ago talking to other ladies or talking to people at school and thinking, you didn't know hardly anything. But he put me there at a specific time and place, and I connected to some people, and we went on a journey together. And if I was where I am now, 3-2 years ago, I don't know if I would have connected with them. Or, you know, I might have been over their head or two, you know. And so now I feel like I'm in a place that I'm doing something totally different, and I need... He's placed me here at this time, and I have this relationship that I can do something different to the people around me and affect them in different ways. And if I had not changed from 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 2 years ago, I wouldn't be doing this now. You
that's
know?
So good.
So you mentioned playing basketball, and that's right up my alley. I think of this idea of, we are supposed to be practicing all the time. And I think we've talked about it on here. Your relationship with God is personal, but it is not private. And so just like when you're practicing, if you've ever done anything where you practice and then you play, so you're practicing and then you eventually play a game. And so this idea of making it public, what you have practiced and put in so much time and effort, you are now going public with it. And you're going to show people what you know, what you don't know. Hey, I've messed. I'm going to be vulnerable here. I'm not going to be my best, but this is what I know.
You're going to win some. And you're going to lose some.
Yeah. Little seventh grade Maddie went out and did her best. but she was not as good as college Maddie, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And so this idea of we should be constantly practicing mm-hmm. our personal faith and diving in and learning more and asking people to come and support us mm-hmm. and ask questions and pray mm-hmm. for me and personally we're practicing, we're building those habits. And then we're called at the same time to play games and mm-hmm. go public. Mm-hmm. Share what I know. I might not know it all, but share what you do.
I'm not a starter.
Share your journey so far. Mm-hmm. Encourage the people around you with everything that you know, your journey, what you're learning. And then, you know, days from now, oh, I've learned something different. That's what we're doing here. We're just showing up and we're sharing exactly what we're going through, what we are learning. And guess what? 2 years from now, we might look back and be like, oh my goodness, what were we, you know, like, because you should be constantly developing and your skills should get bigger and you should be honing in on that Holy Spirit and growing in your actual knowledge of the Bible and then that intimate relationship with Jesus. But you can't just be like, okay, I'm not good enough yet. I'm just going to keep practicing.
Yeah.
I'm just going to keep practicing. Guess what? The games are passing you by. Those opportunities to share and do big, giant leaps of, okay, now you're going to talk in front. Now you're going to pray in mm-hmm. front. Now you're publicly declaring, this is what I stand for. This is where I am. This is what I'm doing. And you're asking people to come with you. Do it with me. Those are constantly available. And if you know anything about sports or band or anything, if you don't actually perform, mm-hmm. you are never actually going to grow, because mm-hmm. it's in those moments where you're taking a leap and you're saying, okay, God, you gave me this opportunity to share. I'm going to share. And then afterwards, you're like, I just grew in my faith because of that. Mm-hmm. I might have felt like I failed. So I remember, side note, I remember sharing the gospel with a coworker for the first time. And I think I called my brother like very, very shortly after, because he was one of the people that I had called to say, I don't even know how to do this in the workplace. I'm not supposed to even do this. And then he gave me some pointers. And then I said, okay, be praying for me. Hold me accountable. I'll call you after. And I did it. And afterwards, I called him and I said, I don't think I did anything right. I don't even know if I mentioned the name Jesus. I rambled on and he was like, whoa, 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 whoa. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
The Spirit went ahead of you, is around you. It doesn't matter what that person said, like you took the step, like you played in the game. And now you did it. You are better for the next time, mm-hmm. right? You're mm-hmm. going to be more apt to say yes the next time, right? So, I don't know. What is your best? What are you giving him? It's not I have to know so much before I share, or I have to do so much before I share. You might be in totally different places, and he's going to use you in every single season and place if you are willing.
And I think the world is so loud with their ways. Why are we quiet? Mm-hmm. You know, if we aren't sharing wherever we are and sharing about how we're still growing and sharing about how we don't have it all together and we're not perfect and we sin and we make mistakes and we fail. But if we aren't sharing the but after all those sentences, but I have a God who is perfect. I have a God who is faithful. I have a God I can trust. I have a God of promise. I have a God I trust. I have a God that loves me more than anyone else can ever love me around this Valentine's weekend. If we aren't saying that, and the world is saying it's all about you, put you first, you know, be your authentic self and make Boo happy. If the world is saying one thing and we're being quiet because we don't think we are armored up enough or worthy enough to talk, then who are they listening to? They're listening to the world. Right. So that's where I am now. I'm not promised my tomorrow. I don't know when the Lord will return, but I can use my meantime to just be loud with what I am, mm-hmm. where I am, what I know. And the only thing I know is the truth of God's word enables us to keep walking in the way of the righteous. Mm-hmm. And yes, and the wisdom, Jesus, the word, the wisdom, the Holy Spirit, wisdom, will guide us if we just seek it. And I'm going to end with this, and it's going to step on somebody's toes. But remember, if it's stepping on yours, it's already stepped on mine. If you aren't in a good place right now, I mean, I'm talking like emotionally, circumstantial, whatever. If you're not in a good place, I'm going to ask you one very poignant question. Are you in God's word? Period. Because the only thing that can get you through a dark place and a dark season, because I've been there too, is his word. Mm-hmm. So pull yourself out of it by putting your trust in him. Mm-hmm. But Maddie, will you pray us out today?
Oh, I'd love to. Heavenly Father, I am so thankful for you. Thankful for who you are. Thankful for what you've done for us. Thankful for what you are doing and will do. God, you yes. are a promise keeper.
Yes.
You are a way maker. And you are our Savior. God, in this wait of until you bring us home or until you come back, we are all waiting. Help us to want for nothing because you've given us everything.
Yes.
Allow us to trust you, to humble ourselves before you, and to go to you, to read your word, to pray to you, and to listen. God, I love you. Holy Spirit, I thank you. Jesus, I am honored to be a follower of you. I'm so thankful for this opportunity each and every day to get closer to you and honor you with my life. And I pray that the listeners today would reflect upon our life and where we're at in our seasons, but reflect on you and do we measure up to your word? Cut us deep. Make us more like you. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. I hope you can join us in the room on Wednesday. Love you each. May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.